from the Gator Grapplers Hall of Fame in Ponchatoula, Louisiana, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, a man's man who can skin an alligator while wearing a white suit and not get a drop on him, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring retired statesman, mentor to young attorneys, the legal representative to the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And last and least, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and inventor of the non-returning boomerang, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Sorry, a little late.
Hot tamales. So happy to have you here tonight.
Wait, you say it like I've been sick or close to death.
Well, aren't you?
At your age, you always are.
When I'm in the room with you guys, I'm close to death.
Yeah, what's tonight's episode number?
Good thing.
Eight, right?
Number eight.
What is episode eight, Alan?
Eight is the body scissors.
Ooh.
Ooh, you know the body scissors.
I forgot about that one.
Body scissors, pretty much you just get your opponent on the ground, lock your legs around them, and clamp them, right?
But with an alligator, how do you administer that hold? Where at on the body? Is that on the head?
Just behind the head so he can't flip his head around and grab you.
Oh, I think you get him by the head and then you do the scissor around their waist, don't you?
Oh, I don't know. You're the world champion there.
According to the icon, which will accompany this episode, if you look at it while you're listening here, you will see that the scissor is around the opponent's body.
Yes.
Good luck on that.
And it's also the alligator applying it.
Short legs.
Wrestling alligators are bred for long legs.
Okay.
Actually, that brings me to my thought for the evening. Is that, you know how they've cracked the genome? Genome? What is it?
Geome.
Where they have, like, cataloged.
Chris, what part of the country you're from?
This is very true.
That was this morning. Okay.
Whoa.
Crack the human genome, where they have cataloged every chromosome in the body and can essentially make a human being from scratch if they wanted to. Assuming they had the parts, right?
Right. But, Rick, any couple can create a human being from scratch
without knowing
with the right parts.
Hopefully.
And they don't have to know nothing about the genome. Probably most of them don't.
Very little education going on there.
Probably if more of them knew about the chromosomes involved, there would be fewer people.
Maybe.
All right. What happens when they crack the code on the genome on all the different species of animals in the world? I mean, you know, you think about Greek mythology, right? What was a satyr?
Satyr. Not sure.
Satyr. Satyr.
Centaur?
No, a centaur's the half horse, half man. What was the one that... What's Pan?
Pan's like a half goat, half man.
Yeah, a centaur. Not a centaur. Satyr.
Okay.
S-A-T-Y-R. Okay. My question is...
If you say so.
Have we reached the stage of technology where we can make those now?
Okay. Have you seen the movie The Island of Dr. Moreau?
No.
He did it. And it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen the movie, but I can't expect anything like that to go very well.
Actually, there have been two versions of The Island of Dr. Moreau. One of them has Burt Lancaster as Dr. Moreau, and then the young scientist who accidentally lands on the island is, who's that? York. What is that? The British actor.
Oh, Michael York?
Michael York. He's the young scientist that confronts him. And in the modern version, it's The Godfather.
Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando is Dr. Moreau.
Whoa. Good casting there.
And the younger guy is the Iceman from the movie.
Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer, yeah.
And they make human-animal
mixes? They cross humans with animals.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. It's the time has come when that can be done now. Well, I think they got the genome under control.
Okay, so what are you wanting to do here, Rick?
Make satyrs.
Okay. So are you going to do this in your basement, or how are you going to set this up?
No, it would have to be done by scientists.
Oh, I didn't know.
Don't you figure that, like, the Department of Defense is already, like, having them make, you know, super intelligent gorillas with a super vicious strain to use as super soldiers?
Again, a movie comes to mind.
Here we go. Now, are you and Dennis just kind of sit around and watch movies all the time in spare time?
Gotcha. Yeah, you're going to say Planet of the Apes, but in Planet of the Apes, those gorillas evolved into what they were.
Right.
I'm talking about just skipping all the evolution involved, have science just make them.
Okay, did you ever see the movie where the guy, the mad scientist, crosses a man with a snake?
No.
And I want to say it's Mark Hamill, I think, is in
Star Wars guy?
What? Yeah. I don't even know where you find these movies at.
Yeah, that's just preposterous. You know, it's interesting to me that all the scientists that come up with this stuff are always mad scientists.
And, Rick, you came up with it tonight.
Scary.
Which just shows how mainstream it's going to become.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. These things that are created, are they human? I mean, would they have a name? Would they have a soul?
This looks like a whole new area for lawyers.
Now we're getting to the crust of the biscuit, right?
You got that.
Super intelligent, strong, vicious lawyers.
I don't think that's fantasy.
Now we know we've been dreaming about here lately.
You know, I was thinking about the whole business of Department of Defense, you know, making highly trained gorillas that they could use as soldiers, right?
Yeah.
You know that if they did that, sooner or later, those super strong attorneys we talk about from the ACLU would start saying those gorillas have rights.
Right.
Well, sure they do.
Well, sooner or later, then, the Army's responsibility. Okay, well, then we'll just enlist them for a term.
Isn't that what Wagner did over in Russia?
I think. But,
Wagner?
Wagner.
No, Wagner did over in Russia?
No, he wrote symphonies.
No. This is a different guy. He didn't have anything to do with music.
I think it's a clone war going on over there going on.
It could definitely get interesting.
My question is that once they finish their term, you know, and they're done, they don't reenlist in the Army, what are you going to do with a whole community of super strong, vicious gorillas? I'm thinking a whole tribe of super strong, super vicious gorillas is going to have entertainment value. It'll be on the news every night.
Do you sleep at night, or
until they round them up? The human, you don't find that fascinating?
Not a bit.
To think of the things they'll be able to build now.
Think about Rick. He's seen every movie about these things. And it hasn't worked so in the movie. So
if we're going to do this...
It hasn't yet.
Right. I think that I'm going to cross a chicken with a black Angus so I can get some really big chicken wings. If we genetically engineer these things, can we eat them?
What made me think of all these things is zonkies. Zonkey is, right? It's a zebra donkey clone cross.
Is that similar to like a liger?
It is, and ligers are real things. They can make a liger can tiger and lion can breed, and it makes a liger.
Okay.
Zebra and donkey can breed, makes a zonkey.
Yeah. And how far down can you go where you can combine those things? Kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus.
This
species.
Is what I'm talking about right here. Or? This is where the genome comes in.
Okay.
You'd be able to combine any of them once you know what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to mad combine, scientists. Involved.
You're going to combine a hummingbird with a giraffe.
That'd be interesting.
Uh huh.
How's that? Oh, okay, the science has to
through science. Through science, Grace. Well, no good would come of it. Why would you make something like that?
Well, I don't know. You're throwing it out there, so I'm picking it up.
Well, I'm saying like super strong, intelligent gorillas would have a use in society.
I think they'd cause problem in society. Well, I don't think they'd be really societal creatures, would they?
They're societal now. Gorillas are communal animals.
Not with humans.
Well, if they're...
And you're talking about blending them in with human activity.
Super intelligent gorillas.
Those, how are you going to get that?
Through the genome.
But you're combining them with the human?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit. The intelligence part. The viciousness part.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you about another time this has been done. Have you seen the movie Young Frankenstein?
Oh, that's great. I love that movie. Finally, one I've seen.
I'm saying that the...
Everybody got something out of that one, didn't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
You know, the army...
Everybody came out great.
The army... The army has use for these things. You know, back in World War I, when they had the trench warfare...
Yeah.
And they said, told the soldiers, up over the top, boys. I want you to run across no man's land and drive those guys out of the other side. They all, to the millions, climbed up over the top and went charging over there to get gunned down.
Okay.
People won't do that anymore. Okay, this is where trained gorillas would come in.
But if you're making them super intelligent, why would they go over the wall?
They'd be saying, not me.
Well, because they would be also have the gene about taking orders.
Oh, man.
Man, this is going to backfire on you. This is like the worst movie scenario ever.
Well, I wasn't making a movie.
I was going to say it doesn't qualify for a movie.
I was remaking society for you. Okay. What about men and horses, the centaurs?
I don't think that really works either.
Yeah, I think you'd have a few guys to go along with that.
What about?
You know, you wouldn't have to have jockeys anymore at the races.
What about the guy in the motorcycle?
Oh, see, that's not a living thing.
Now you're talking nonsense, Greg.
Oh, God.
It's on TV. And that worked out well for that guy.
The humans who are half human, half horse.
What about them?
Well, that's centaur.
Right.
Well, I said
I had those on Harry Potter.
You'd be able to have races then.
They had those on Harry Potter.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, that's just... preposterous.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Now you're talking about magic.
Would it be genome cruelty to ride on the centaur?
I'm not riding on that thing.
I'd say...
Get up! Get off!
It'd be a fight.
I think there'd be trouble.
You'd make mermaids then, too.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to go to all the work. You can just see, like, in the movie, stand there next to the big switch that he's going to pull down with tanks on each one. And when I pull this switch, it will be half human, half fish. And he pulls the switch,
wrong end.
And it's the wrong end.
Wrong way around.
Fish on the head coming, and feet on the bottom.
Right down.
Yeah. So, commercial. Somebody brought snacks to the podcast tonight.
Got the right brand,
Someone who's been genetically engineered for intelligence.
Greg, get them snacks. Can do, Chief.
Commercial.
Play it?
Yes, it's halfway time, at least.
You want me to press the button? Nothing's coming up. Nothing's happening here. Nothing's working.
Maybe if we tweak your genome, you know, we won't have this problem with you. Hit enter again.
All right.
New sponsor.
It said, this episode of the Ringhauser Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by... Movieland Video Tape Rentals and their big special summer blockbuster sale. Movieland has multiple copies of all the big new releases, your favorite VHS tapes in stock and ready for rental. Only $3 for a two-night rental. Looking for Jackie Gleason and Mac Davis in The Sting 2? We've got it. Olivia Newton-John in Xanadu? Got it. How about that lovable loser Jim Varney in Ernest Goes to Camp?
Wow.
Well, you bet we've got it. We also have a limited number of Toshiba 4-head video cassette players for rent. First come, first serve. Movieland Video Tape Rentals is, contrary to rumors, not going out of business, but it's merely changing locations. Our new location is in the Petroleum Springs Strip Mall between the Clean Blood Dialysis Center and Barlow's Antiques. Plenty of parking. And be kind, Rewind.
Attaboy. It's nice to have sponsors for the show.
Isn't it? Those guys are with it.
I'm glad to hear they're going to be around for a while, too. Can't wait to get down there.
You know who could put them out of business?
Who?
Not that he would. Not that he would try. Dennis?
Oh, my.
Our brother Dennis, he has VCR tapes coming out his ears.
VCRs?
He has VCR tapes. He also has DVDs. And he has some Blu-ray.
You got any VCR tapes left, Greg?
I sent them all to Dennis. His collection. I brought a bunch down to his.
So if you want your VCR tapes now, you have to go rent them.
Which is fine. Just got to rent a tape player, too.
You know, I can't get Xanadu.
They rent them.
I can't get Xanadu out of my mind right now.
So you going out and rent it tonight?
Isn't that Olivia Newton-John in a roller skating extravaganza?
You know, when I was young, and VCR tapes were the standard. We had the three original Star Wars movies recorded on the same tape back to back to back. And I can remember I was going through this phase of my life where I'd stay out kind of late, you know? And I'd come home and I'd decide, watching Star Wars. I'm putting it in. I'm going to watch Star Wars. And I'd, of course, fall asleep right away. And then the next time I'd come in late at night. And
Darth said, Vader's his father.
I'm going to watch Star Wars, and I'd fast forward it to where I left off and then start watching again. It took me like 6 weeks to watch those three movies.
And there is a good measure of Alan's sober time during that period of his life.
No, I wasn't. What did you think that?
Wow.
Back from college for a few hours.
Yeah!
Watch Star Wars.
Well, contrary to you, I lived at home during my college years. I worked in the farm.
You went to SIU Carbondale.
One semester, man.
Oh.
Where's the rest?
I got to tell you, though, you know, I heard a song today. Moody Blues, The Answer.
Yeah,
you know, very good.
And it starts off that just
and
strumming.
Then it drops into a real
then
slow
it goes
little
slow
ballad.
For a while, and then it comes back. When I was living down at Carbondale, and I was living in this dorm, I'd come down the hall, you know, because I was like at the end of the hall, and I'd go past this one guy's room, and he'd be in there. He'd have his door open. He'd be sitting on the edge of his bed playing that part from that song. Just, I mean, constantly, every time I went by there, he was playing that song, just, I guess, trying to perfect it or whatever. It was like deja vu. Just,
you didn't go give him the John Belushi, Stephen Bishop thing?
Smash the guitar against the wall.
And then just say,
sorry.
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 No, somebody had to.
We had a guy in college play a guitar, but he sat there naked singing Stairway to Heaven.
Whoa. There's.
Naked?
Yeah.
How long did you stand there and watch that,
Not
Greg?
Not long. Huh? Not long. That was amazing. We all just kind of shut our doors and went on our business.
Yeah, when you go away to college, man, cut loose.
You learned stuff.
Much.
We had, you know, like they would have like
Stairway to Heaven was never the same.
I'm disturbed now.
Why would a guy do that?
That's just the way he was. He was.
Alan, to get girls.
No. No. Wouldn't be bragging about that either.
All right. That just hit me when I heard that song earlier today.
Going back to my human genome thing.
Yeah? Why would you? What else you got across, Rick?
You can make a sphinx.
Okay.
Do you know what a sphinx is?
Lion and man.
That's right.
That's not hard, Rick.
There would be guys who would sign up for that.
I think they'd go for the centaur thing before they go for the
Put me
sphinx.
In the genomic blender and bring me out with the body of a lion.
No.
You don't think?
Honey, we're out of kibble. Somebody change the cat box.
That's what I was going to get to say.
I told you to stay off the sofa.
Quit scratching up the furniture.
You're the Sphinx, man. You rule the sofa. It ain't the.
Oh yeah,
the wife telling you.
If there's
off
a
the
Mrs.
sofa.
Sphinx around, that ain't the way it works.
Oh, I wasn't planning on that.
Oh, big tough lion man.
But I guess if you don't make a Mrs. Sphinx, you don't have a whole breed of
that's
them.
That's pretty the end that. Of pretty much the end of it right there.
That's the way it ended in Egypt. The one they had died, made a statue.
Turned to stone, something. Something wasn't right. I haven't seen any Sphinx bones around anywhere. I think it's a myth. What else you going to blend together there, Rick?
I had a griffin.
You know, see, these are all things that have been done. Let's mix some.
Well, what do you think? What animals are out there that would be nice to have blended? Like a zonkey. You know, I would like to have zonkeys just so I could say I'm running a zonkey farm. Huh. Come on out and ride the zonkeys.
To be honest with you, I think I'd rather have a full-blown zebra.
Well, I understand, but I suppose there's a lot of zebra farms and not a lot of zonkey farms.
Yeah.
And zebras are kind of mean. The zonkey puts some kindness in them.
Right.
The natural kindness of a donkey goes into the breed when they breed them.
What if we crossed an alligator with a lobster?
So you got the pinchers on the side?
Yeah, you got a lot more meat there then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or just tweak the genome and make it a super strong, intelligent wrestling alligator.
Ooh, what if you crossed a...
Rippling alligator
what
muscles.
What about crossing an anaconda with an alligator? That'd be almost like a dragon, wouldn't it?
I think it would be.
It would be. You know, if you were going to make a dragon, you just need something with wings. Put some wings on it. A big bat. A little bat DNA would give it the wings that would look good on a dragon.
Well, put it across one of those giant fruit bats from down in South America with a Komodo dragon.
Oh, yeah. You'd skip. You'd be halfway there.
And you got it. You could be flying around on that rascal. But wait a minute. Don't we have to include a little bit of human genome in there? Or you can do more than one critter, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say you take the best of everybody. Make it intelligent.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go a different direction here. Let's leave the human out. And what could be the best tasting creature that you could combine?
Ooh.
Huh?
Now you're using your scientism.
That might be the better direction to go.
So. For the good of humanity.
Yeah. So let's cross a
pig that's all bacon.
You need to
this
have
is a giant pig stomach with legs.
We need a pig with cross it with something really long, you know, like an anaconda and a pig. And then you got, you know, like
big strong belly.
You'd have, you know, 20 feet of bacon.
Bacon comes from the stomach of the pig, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
what's an animal with several stomachs?
Cow.
Oh. It doesn't come from the actual internal stomach. It comes from the abdominal
muscles around the head.
I think the anaconda's got the longest abdominal muscle of any.
If you could get that in science to get that gene of the longness of it, yeah, perfect. That would be the perfect situation.
All bacon. Mm. The all bacon free range pig. Mm. You don't want to raise them in cages.
Oh, no, you don't want to eat them.
No. You just
free range pigs. Snake pigs.
Snake pigs, that's pretty good.
You know, the problem with breeding, like, Komodo dragons, you know, once you get a bunch of them and they're loose, to have big flying things that attack people from the sky, I can see where that's going to be a problem. Unless you breed kindness into them. Put a little donkey DNA in with your dragons.
No. You go back and you build, you know, like airplane hangar-sized cages. You just keep them in there.
Like at St. Louis Zoo?
Like that big old cage they got from the
I seen World's Jurassic
Fair.
Park. That didn't work. They get out.
They just did that for the movie. Put a shock collar on them. That'll bring them in.
Big shot.
Now you're gonna rein them in.
Now you're gonna be cruel to them. Can't do that either.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't putting human genome in them.
That's what. Well,
who said that? I never said that.
No. I thought we all agreed that if we were gonna make a tasty creature.
Oh, there's ethics involved here.
Yeah. Is now.
There's people that eat their fingernails.
Earlier, I asked if these young combo critters have a soul, and you sidestepped that one.
Well, if they're human, if they put a little human in them, then you're going to deal with the business. God will sort that out. He'll decide who to assign souls to.
Pope will do that here. We'll get a ruling. The Supreme Court will probably jump in on it. They're jumping in on everything else right now. Nothing? You think they'd rule on crossing animals? Well, wait a minute.
Just cross the line here somewhere.
I think it'd probably
be... Is it profitable?
It'd probably be...
It's okay.
The UN would probably step in on that, wouldn't they?
The UN.
They don't have any power.
Don't have any authority?
None.
You want to make some new animals? Bring them.
We'll check it out.
You know the animals...
Cool, let them vote.
I would take the position that for every animal that goes extinct, you make a new one. It would balance the ecosystem out.
Okay, if we're that far along with this whole genome thing, shouldn't we be going out there and saving a few genes from every living creature right now, and they would never go extinct?
Let me tell you something. The U.S. government already does that.
Okay.
Only they're not going crazy like that, although they may do that now, too. But they have a
bank.
They have a depository with a big safe with, like, samples of every seed of every plant that's ever grown.
As a matter of fact, they had that over in Europe during World War II, and they had a group that was designated to protect that bank. Are you aware of that?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
And you go in.
Because they were afraid that starving people were going to start eating them.
With a big pot, and he's cooking them all together to make a bean stew. This is going to be delicious.
Right. Well, that's what they were afraid of, Rick.
For every animal that goes extinct, make a new one. A new, different one to take its place.
Let me think about that. Can you eat the bacon from it?
Let's say that you're building a new big dam.
Right? Uh-huh.
And it turns out that there's some little, you know, one-eyed or...
Snail darter?
Yeah, whatever. You know, albino little fish there. That there's like 8 of them in the world and they're holding up your dam project. Kill them all. Build your dam and then replace it with some other new species that's going to thrive anyway.
Or just a subset species.
Rick, did you
super
ever,
intelligent, vicious gorillas.
Did you ever see the show Horton Hears a Who?
No.
Every life is important, no matter how big or how small.
So you can't
kill them all to make your dam?
Yeah. I got a feeling you're going
to
run
into a lot of
problems.
Are you wanting to kill these little albino fish just because they're white?
No. Not racist. No, I want to kill them because they're in the way of progress.
Okay.
All right.
So anything you would have been
going to be a lot of issues with
handy
that
if you've been on Columbus's ship.
When those Spanish guys popped ashore, or whatever, where were the dodos at?
Oh.
On that Dodo Island.
Dodo Island, man. They killed every one of them, didn't think twice about it.
Was that in the Galapagos? Was that where the dodos
were? I want to say maybe the Galapagos.
slow, heavy, flightless bird with delicious meat. Didn't last very long, did they?
Not there. Not when the humans got there, anyway.
Yeah, but they got stuffed ones on display where they could probably go in and get
a little sample and remake those.
Recreate them. Why couldn't you? Just like a mosquito trapped in amber.
And if they're that delicious, you know, it could solve the world's hunger problem. Mm. Make jillions of them.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, big dodo. Right in the middle of the table.
I don't understand why we got a hunger problem. It's a distribution issue. I mean, like, all over the United States, we have Canada geese that are just making a mess everywhere. Why can't we feed the country with those?
You know, I was thinking that up at Walk Lake here in town in Jerseyville.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of geese that walk around there, and they make a mess of the walkways.
Yeah.
I don't see where they contribute anything other than looks to the project. And if Walt Disney has shown anything, it's that you can have animatronics that look pretty good.
There you go.
Will accomplish the same thing. They'll look nice. They'll look like geese, and they won't soil the thing, and they'll solve the world hunger problem.
Yeah. Between those and wildebeest, seems like there's a lot of them. And they're not pretty.
And your super bacon pig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your guys are on to something, I think.
Maybe.
Is it about that time?
It's past that time, guys.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, then, until next time.
See you later from...
Rick Gator.
Greg Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.